This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathira thumma ma ba'd. Do you guys know how the people of Jannah look like when they enter Jannah? When they enter Jannah, do you know how the people look like? You guys look like, what are you talking about? It must be beautiful, right? They gotta be beautiful. But how beautiful? How did the Prophet ﷺ describe the people of Al-Jannah as they enter Al-Jannah? May Allah make us among them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And not anybody, especially the first group that enter Jannah. In this hadith, Hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala wa rda, Hadith number 1882 in Riyadh al-Salihin, قَالَ وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَوَّلُ زُمْرَةٍ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى صُورَةِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the first group of people to enter Jannah will be shining like the moon on the full moon night. How many of you have seen the moon a few days ago, actually? Oh my God, it was gorgeous. It was unbelievable. SubhanAllah, I was just like driving. I just don't want to turn around because I want to keep looking at the moon. When it was full, it was beautiful. It was unbelievable. It's amazing. It is gorgeous. And you know what? It gets more beautiful if there was no light pollution in the city. Unfortunately, we don't see the extent of its beauty because this light that we see in the city just kind of obscures some of the beautiful light that comes from the moon. But if you go outdoors, for example, or go in the mountains or far away from the city lights, and you look at the moon, you would appreciate the blessing and appreciate the ni'mah and the beauty of the moon in that moment. So the Prophet ﷺ says that those people, in terms of their beauty, like the full moon shining in the most beautiful way. May Allah make us among them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. قَالَ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ عَلَى أَشَدِّ كَوْكَبٍ دُرِّيٍّ فِي السَّمَاءِ إِضَاءً. He goes, then will come those who follow them, who will be like the most shining planet in the sky. Man, I know it's still beautiful. Especially when you look, you know, in some time of the year, you can see some of the planets, the nearest planet to us, and they shine and they twinkle more than any other star in the sky. You can tell, oh, so this is Mars, or this is, for example, this planet, and so on. It's still beautiful. It's not as big as the moon, obviously. It's shining and twinkling, but it's not like the moon when it's full on beauty. It puts full beauty, basically. What does that mean, Jama'ah? Even Ahlul Jannah will vary in their grades and their rewards. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Rahman, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. For those who truly fear their position before their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll get to Jannah. And then he said, beneath that, he says, قال, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. And below that, there are two other Jannah. Describing the rewards in these two sets of Jannat is remarkable. In the first one, he says, قال ذَوَاتَ أَفْنَانِ. That Jannah, the gardens are just, you know, flowing all over. The other two sets of Jannah, he says, قَالْ مُدْهَامَّتَانْ. Kind of like a lot of shade and not like as shiny as the other ones. When he spoke of the water, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانْ. In the first Jannah, the water is flowing all over the place. But the second set of Jannah, he says, قَالَ فِيهِمَا نَضَّخَتَانْ, which means they just pump like water springs in the same place. You have to go to them, basically, to get the water, versus running through all your Jannah. And he spoke about the kind of reward. Everything is beautiful, much more beautiful in the first two sets, you know, in comparison to the second one. And towards the end, he said what? At the end, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. What do you expect the reward for excellence, other than excellence? Today in this dunya, we fight for little things, unfortunately. It's about fame and name and grudges, and everybody wants to win against the other person. There in Jannah, there's nothing of that. You're going to get your reward based on what you have done here in this dunya. So watch what you do, what you say. So the people of Jannah come in different grades as well too. Those who have at the highest level, and then there's a degree below that. I know. Even the degree below that is still beautiful. But why settle for that degree if you can get to the higher one, Jama'ah? Don't you want to be with the Anbiya and Salihin and Shuhada? Of course. So don't settle yourself to a lower level if you can get to that higher level by trying your best to get there, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in regard to the people of Jannah overall in general, قال, لا يبولون. They don't urinate. ولا يتغوطون. And they don't relieve themselves of nature like we do here in this dunya. ولا يتفلون. And they don't spit. ولا يمتخطون. And they don't blow their noses. Like they're always what? Clean. They're always clean. قال أمشاطهم الذهب. Their combs will be of gold. So when they comb their hair, what does that mean? Because their hair are messy? No, it's just a pleasure. The pleasure of it. That's all. قال ورشحهم المسك. And then when they sweat musk. Can you imagine that, Jama'ah, if it's in the masjid over here, mashallah, on Jum'ah or Taraweeh? Ya Allah. So they sweat musk, beautiful scent in al-Jannah. قال وما جامرهم الألوة. And even in Jannah, they also use the wood, the burning wood, the scent will be used. Is al-Ulua, one of the best and top kinds of burning scent that they used to have in the Arabian Peninsula. Al-Ulua, they call it. That's the best thing. You burn it, it smells amazing. We call it Bukhur over here, usually. So they have that and they always smell nice and beautiful, mashallah. And then adding to that, قال أزواجهم الحور العين. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and their wives will be of الحور العين, the maidens of Al-Jannah. قال على خلق رجل واحد. They all will be created at one design. And they all look alike, the form of their forefather Adam. When he said, ستون ذراعا في السماء, he was, in terms of his size, alayhi salatu wasalam, 60 cubit tall. And as you can see, the creation is actually getting shorter since then. As we get more in terms of population, we get smaller. We shrink in terms of individual sizes. Back then, when there was Adam, he wants to go through the earth, his paces will be bigger than ours. So he gets, for example, from Mecca to Medina in maybe 2 steps probably. Right? But now it's different. How that creation happened? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. And even nowadays, if you look at some of the ancient drawings, they sometimes draw human beings at the height of the trees, which is a basic indication that maybe that's how it used to be thousands of years ago, subhanAllah. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, or the Prophet has given us, the description of the people of Al-Jannah. Now, you tell me, on which category you would like to be a Jama'ah? You want to be among those who will be like the shining moon? Or do we say, well, a twinkle star, I'm okay with that. If you're that type of person who says, a twinkle star, I'm happy with it, may Allah forgive you, ya Rabbil Alameen. You're going to sell yourself so short, and you're probably going to even do less and less, and Allahu Alam, if you're going to get to that level. But if you start challenging yourself and says, you know, I need to be one of them. I would like to be one of those on the top, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. If you fall short, I hope, inshallah, you'll still be in a good position, binillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. So make sure that you do your best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you among those who will shine the best in Jannah, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu alam. Any question, Jama'ah? Yes, sir. I could barely hear you, by the way. So the question, if I want to do something for the sake of Allah, how do I know that I'm doing it for the sake of Allah versus something else? That's something you're going to have to keep fighting until you die. The shaitan will always come between you and your intention. And your job is to try to fight that, and by saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Every time you think the thought of riya or showing off comes in, just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And keep realigning your intention and keep focusing on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. That battle is an ongoing battle until you die. So you're going to keep trying your best, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Is that a tag team between your brother and you, or what's going on here? Gudraham, go ahead. Like if you're doing something not necessarily for the sake of Allah, but for other intention. Like for example, eating dinner. I'm not eating dinner for the sake of Allah. I'm eating dinner because it tastes good. Is that what you're saying? Can someone convey the question? Because it's too far. Oh, so you're not doing it for the sake of Allah. You're doing it for the sake of getting to Al-Jannah, right? Is that what you're saying? Man. You're a businessman. You're Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself asked us to trade with Him. He Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to trade with Him. When He says, Sari'u, Sabiqu, come, run to Me, and come and fight for tijara. أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى تِجَارَةٌ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Shall I tell you a trade between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So yeah, I am trading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala my good deeds for a commodity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that if I do well, I'll get it. So when I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get me what He promised. So yeah, I have Jannah between my eyes. I would love to get there. So I'm doing it for the sake of that Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. Besides, if you believe in Jannah, you believe in whom? In the one who created it. I mean, if you look at Jannah's description, you would say, come on, are you serious? Of course, because nothing in Jannah looks like what we have in this dunya, right? So if you already believe in Jannah and you work for Jannah, then you're indeed working for the one who promised you that I'll give you this if you good deeds. So just go ahead, inshallah, fight for Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. It's going to come. We're going to come to one of the hadith that's the highest reward in Al-Jannah is what, Jama'ah? Wallahi, every time I read this hadith, it really brings tears to my eyes because it's scary. So scared that our deeds will fall short from getting us in that position, you will get the highest reward in Al-Jannah. And the highest reward in Al-Jannah is to do what? To be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your own eyes in a manner that suits His majesty. In a manner that suits His majesty. Imagine having that pleasure of being in the highest level of Al-Jannah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to see Him regularly. Versus being in the first level of Al-Jannah, you get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every now and then. I know there is, of course, any way I can see Allah is beautiful, right? But imagine if being in the companionship of all these great people that will always see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a regular basis. Jama'ah, that requires, wallahi, a lot of sacrifice. Wallahi, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of altruism, a lot of focus on the akhirah, and a lot of focus on yourself, really, because this dunya right now that we live is just distraction. I have to bring it back again, subhanAllah, the few days we spent in Morocco. Yeah, Jama'ah, wallahi, it gives different perspective on this dunya, I swear. Nothing in this dunya matters after you go and see these places. Nothing in this dunya. We live artificial life here. I swear we live artificial life. The cars you drive, the houses you live in, the positions you have in your rooms and your households, there is so much to worry about in this dunya that we're so distracted. Our hearts are just overwhelmed with many, many things. But there, the simplicity of life makes people just so connected with the divine. Because this dunya is just, the houses were destroyed. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us patience, they say. I'm like, how do these people think? How they have this level of iman in their heart that we, the people who have everything in this dunya, like you get hungry, you don't worry about anything. You can get food easily. Not just get food. Whatever you want to eat, you can get it. Over there, it's not the same. Even if there's something to eat, subhanAllah, they don't have that luxury like we do to travel by car to go to the store and get your food and or even order it online. No, they're just subhanAllah, whatever the land around them produces for them, they would use that. They're very simple life, very humble life, but wallahi for me, they are the world who live in the real life. We are living artificial life over here. May Allah subhanAllah protect us from this fitna, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.